In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all our sins, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. This session is going to be devoted to Holy Week up till the Paschal Vigil. Then I'm going to do another one on the Paschal Vigil and then one on Easter Sunday. Neither you nor I have time to go through in detail through all the readings of Holy Week. But I do want to give some sort of an overview to orient, especially those who have to preach, to orient you on certain things that might help. So we're going to look right away in this first part on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we'll move on. I'm sure you've all noticed that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have the three, what we call, servant songs. Exegetically, this Mandum, D-U-H-M, considered them to be isolated portions inserted into these chapters. That's not the case, and it does change a lot of your understanding. The finest commentary on this, I think, is by, I was just looking at it, Brevard Childs, if you want to get one, especially his work on the Servant Song, the fourth one. All right, so these Servant Songs do give us quite a vision to understand. You see, the Logos was present to Israel all the way. The Logos was instructing Israel as to what was going to happen. And so these are prophecies, but they're prophecies that are not mechanical. They're mystical. And so I'm just going to look mostly at those and then touch on the reading. Monday of Holy Week, we have the first of the Servant Songs. This is the one that is referred to sometimes along with the second one in 49 that we'll just look at in a moment. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. Already this idea of this Eved, this servant. Huh? We did some of this before, I remember, and I mentioned biblically the two qualities of a servant are intimacy and obedience, and they go together. You can't be intimate unless you're obedient. And if you are intimate, then you want to be obedient. And so what characterizes a servant of God is intimacy and obedience. And here we have the servant. Those words from Isaiah 42 are echoed at the baptismal scene in the synoptics. This is my beloved son. And instead of my beloved servant, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. It's repeated at the transfiguration, which we listen to in the second Sunday of Lent, when we had that gospel. So, after that, there is the psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Just think of that, huh? He is my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Can you imagine when Jesus prayed that? Remember, these psalms are a sacrament of the soul of Jesus. You really understand these psalms, you understand the soul of Jesus. And that said, Augustine puts these words on Jesus' mouth in commenting on one of the psalms. Words similar, anyway. Okay. And then we have this story of the anointing. In all the Gospels, there is this anointing of Jesus before the Passion. Basically, it's a messianic anointing. Some of the texts, you see, right in John, the anointing is of his head, he's king. The others, it's the feet. But it's still this anointing. This year, we'll have John, I think every year. We have John, where you have this anointing of the feet. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. Bethany is still right there. If you walk over the Mount of Olives, going a little bit south and down the other side, there it is. It's about a mile and a half. They gave a dinner, Martha and Mary, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table. Do you remember the last Sunday before we begin Palm Sunday and all the rest? We have Life Sunday, and it was the raising of Lazarus. Now he comes back as a symbol of restored life, you see? And so that's our Monday. On Tuesday, we have the next servant song, which is 49:1-6 in Isaiah. And this is a key one. This helps us to understand the fourth one. Hear me, O distant islands. Hear, O distant people. The Lord called me from birth. And now this goes through quoting God. And he says, you see, you are my servant, Israel. You see, you are my servant, Israel. You, one person, you are my servant, Israel. Because what you do goes out to the old and the new Israel. And so, and this is very important, and it ties in intimately with the fourth servant song, which we'll be seeing in just a moment. Again, we have this notion, you see, after the, as I think we already saw, or the when the woman anoints Jesus, huh, everybody gets upset. So in John, we're using John again on Tuesday, with the anointing. And Jesus corrects. You've always got the poor with you. This is special. This is anointing me for my, if I could say it this way, my messianic burial. I am Messiah in the full sense of the term when I rise from the dead. Because now I can bless you. And so we have this text, huh? You see, it says at the end, it is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I'll do more. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That's a prophecy. And it's to get us ready, you see, and for this text. Now, then in the Gospel, you see, we have this story of the betrayal, okay? I think we already did have that interesting, Jesus corrects them. And then Judas goes out. That's too much. No more. I can't take any more of this. But that's when he goes out and says, what will you give me if I hand him over to you? Which we've already looked at. This part here is all the, you know, consternation of the disciples. Getting us ready to understand the heinousness, the depth of darkness that surrounded Jesus. So then, on Wednesday, we have the third servant song, which, as I think I mentioned before, predicts quite minutely parts of the Passion narrative. I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. That's the immediate prelude to the crucifixion, right? That's what the soldiers were doing to Jesus. The total humiliation of the servant of God. And so, those are the reasons, the readings. Huh? We have in this last one, the third servant song, which is quite remarkable. Of course, then the gospel writers will describe Jesus' torturing in words that will help you see the suffering servant song. And so that's the way that goes. Now, when we say the breviary, you'll notice we have first Hebrews 10, which is a marvelous text. It's all about there could be no redemption without a body. Sacrifice and oblation you would not, but a body you fitted out for me, adapting the Hebrew of Psalm 40. Because if Jesus didn't have a body, he couldn't save us. It has to be kneaded into the very stuff of human history. And so this text on Sunday, Palm Sunday, we have this Hebrews text, and then on Monday, we have this latter part of it, where it says, you know, in this will we are saved. I have come to do your will. Which will? The will of the Father to save the whole human race. That's why you gave me a body, so that I could do this. Bodies are important, as we're going to see in just a moment. Because, you see, as Tertullian says, caro, cardo salutis, the flesh is the hinge of salvation. You couldn't be baptized and enter into divine life if you didn't have a body. And it wouldn't make any sense if the body of Christ had not been offered in a totally free act on the cross by Jesus himself. Because, as Paul says, we are baptized into his death. That's those 3 days. And then the last day in our breviary, that is Holy Thursday morning, we have the agony in the garden according to the letter to the Hebrews. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, I have it right here, I bet. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Can you imagine God learning obedience? God acquiring a new experience of obedience, this time cut right into his flesh. And he was heard because of his reverence. Oh, but he died. Ah, yes, he died. Where is he now? And besides, the he was praying for is us. And we are freed from the eternal death because of that act that he did when he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And so that's those texts. Now, I will stop there for now.